It's kind of sad when you spend your whole life chasing dollars, and then when you get to the end of it, or the end starts coming in sight, you realize you've made a lot of poor investments, thinking you were wise and wily, you know. Better put your investments where it counts. We was talking up there at the reunion yesterday, and one of my uncles said that. Said, you know, that's when you get done with everything. And you know, he's been pretty much out of the way too. He said, when you get done with everything, your family's all that really matters. And so you better invest well there. You better to eat like poor people, and live like poor people, and have love in your home, and peace, and in your children, and someday you'll be rich. Yeah. All right, let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, we're going to start there. I'm going to try to hurry again tonight, and just maybe not, try not to take too long. That's the chapter, 2 Peter chapter 3. Can't get my tongue to go. All right, the second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets. You've been talking about false prophets and warning and giving all the details about them so you can know them. But he wants them to listen to the holy prophets. Let me give you some good advice. Your Bible is enough. You don't have to go chasing after all these modern day prophets and junk that's going on. You're just going to get your mind and your heart messed up, and you're going to get confused listening to all of these people that are out now preaching. In the last days, there's going to be a lot more false prophets, and they'll just fill your mind with confusion and stuff. Tell you what, do what Peter just said, told us here. Go read the holy prophets, the old ones. Go back to the book here. That's good enough. If you're going to read after any man, read some old stuff. Don't read this contemporary modern stuff. I ain't finding nothing nowhere that anybody's saying anything of any consequence, and a lot of dangerous poison. If you want to read something that's worthwhile, you got to go back in time, back to the old, where they walked in the old paths, and they had some good things to say. Brother Kenny called me the other day, and he said he was reading somebody from the 1600s. He does that a lot because he understands this. And he said that he was talking about meditation, and oh, it was just really tearing him up, meditating on the scriptures and how nobody does it anymore. You just preach to them, and they while they're sitting in the pew, they might get a little bit of it, but then when they go out the door, it's all gone. And he said, back in those days, I said, well, you know, those old guys, when they dealt with something, they dealt with it thoroughly. If you read some of Finney's sermons, by the time he's done, he's raked you over three or four times and put you in a corner where you ain't got nothing to say except amen. Yes, sir. They dealt with things thoroughly. And so Brother Kenny's talking about meditation. He said, man, it's killing me. It's really killing me. Nobody does this anymore. Nobody thinks about the scripture. People used to go to church on Sunday, and they didn't have TVs, and they didn't have nowhere else to go all week except back to the farm to work. And so what they heard on Sunday morning, they went home and thought about it while they was plowing and cutting trees or whatever they did. They didn't have so much to think about like we do. Our minds are overcharged and overloaded, and we just ain't got room for time for the Word of God anymore. And we try to read real quick in the morning, get something in, and hit, but our feet's itching while we're doing it, because we've got to go, got to go. And when we go, we drop it right there. We don't take it with us. We leave it right there. And we don't chew on it. Meditate. You know, I remember preachers preaching on it years ago, and meditating like is like a cow ruminating. You know what that is? A cow is chewing their cud. Slow. And a cow's got how many? Seven stomachs?
Four
stomachs? A goat, what has seven stomachs? A goat? Something does. I know some people it looks like they got seven stomachs, but I never tried to count them. You know, they look like the Michelin tire man. And, but, you know, that cow swallow his cud and chewed, and then up it comes. Goes to one stomach for a while, and then it comes back up, and he chews it some more. And then down it goes again, and works in there a while, and up it comes again, and back and forth until he gets everything out of that that he can get. That's the way you're supposed to do the Word of God. Chew on it. All right. That's enough of that. All right. Now, where were we here? That you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. All right, now we've been warned about the last days by the prophets that he just told us to listen to, as well as by the New Testament writers, the apostles, and Jesus himself. We've been warned about these last day prophets. And we've been warned, you know, we've got the entire Word of God to base our understanding of the last days upon. You know, it's not just the New Testament. It's not just the book of Revelation. Everybody's got this idea. People that are not acquainted and familiar with the Bible, they think Revelation is what's about all the last times. Well, no, that the whole Bible talks about the last days. Not just Revelation. Not just those verses in Thessalonians. Not just Matthew chapter 24 or Luke chapter 17 or Luke chapter 21. Those are not the only places that talk about the last days. We're told all through the Bible and warned about them. We don't have to base our knowledge of the last days and what will be happening upon a few scriptures scattered through the Bible. From Enoch to John's last words in Revelation, we've been warned and exhorted about the last days before the coming of the Lord. You know who Enoch was? When did he live? Before or after the flood? Before the flood. Yes, sir. Enoch was one of Noah's ancestors. And, you know, Enoch walked with God and was not. For God took him. I mean, he went to heaven without dying, evidently. Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. The rest of them were living to be 800-900 years old. Enoch was 365, I believe, when that was it for him. And the Bible talks about it. It's funny because Jude tells us exactly what Enoch was preaching. Now, y'all with me here? I mean, the whole Bible's telling us about what it's going to be like in the last days before Jesus comes. At the end of all this thing, in Jude, verses 14 and 15, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these what? These last day false prophets and stuff, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Now that's Enoch preaching. Was he the seventh from Adam? Am I mixing things up? Or I think the seventh from Adam. Boy, that was early on, wasn't it? That was early on in this thing. And Enoch is preaching about the Lord coming with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon this ungodly world. For their ungodly deeds, which they've ungodly spoken and all this. I mean, he preached and told what it was going to be like. And that's encouraging to me. God liked that kind of preaching so much that he just took him out of it. Noah was perfect in his generations. Noah could look back, and this would have been his one of his grandpas. You know, great, great, or great. I forgot now. I haven't refreshed my mind on that in a while. So, but I know that he which testifies to these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Now, that's in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 20. That's one of the last verses in the Bible. Now, the warning is that the world is not going to be won to Christ before he comes. Why is he going to come to execute judgment? Because the world isn't won to him. Like's being taught in a lot of the churches nowadays. Contrary to the twisted theology of the Latter-day Reign and the Pentecostal and Charismatics and others who believe that it will, things are not going to, you know, things are going to be quite different when Jesus comes for his church. Different than what they're saying. The Bible's plain about it. There'll be scoffers, and they'll have the upper hand, and they'll be persecuting those who continue to believe that Jesus is coming. I feel it. I receive it. I already, the condemnation, the resistance, the scoffers who scoff at the fact that we believe Jesus is coming. And I'm not talking about the college graduates and professors and the sodomites and all of them are scoffing. No, it's the people in the churches who are scoffing. They don't believe he's coming anymore. They really don't. They're not excited about it. They're not interested in it because they really don't believe he's coming anymore. They're cruising the internet and listening to all these goofballs and devils. They're flip, you know, what do you call it? Surfing the channels on a TV, listening to all them money-grubbing, whoremongering fakes on there who are teaching this nonsense. And you hear it often, you know, well, Jesus can't come until this happens. Oh, what a foolish thing to say. The Bible never teaches in a way for us to believe that. Jesus can come any second. There's nothing left that has to happen for Jesus to come. And nobody is so keen on this prophecy stuff that they know what they're talking about to the detail. I just mark them off now. You know, there was a time in my life I was real interested in all that stuff. And, you know, the more I messed with it, the more confusing it got, and the less biblical foundation I could find for all of their detailed explanations of everything, that I kind of just threw it all to the wind. I can tell you just exactly what I believe. I believe Jesus is coming for the church. That's the next thing that's going to happen. And it can happen at any moment. And it's not going to be after the great tribulation. And it's not going to be after the beast is ruling the world. And our salvation depends on taking the mark of the beast. Oh, well, that's a bunch of nonsense. No, sir. If you're ready and you belong to the Lord and you're ready to meet him, you're going out of here before all that happens. And see, that's the thing. All these amillennialists and all these other people have filtered in. And people listen to this Irvin Baxter on the radio until a lot of the Baptists are convinced. And that man don't even know what salvation is. I have sat and listened to him explain about baptism and salvation. And he is way off the bean, I'm telling you. And so, if you don't even know the principal things, if you're confused on the very basic principles of the gospel and salvation and sin and what this is all about, how in the world are you going to know details about prophecy and hidden things and deep things that God hasn't revealed to us anyway? No, I think I'll just stick with the basic things that we absolutely know. We know all men are sinners and they need to be saved, and therefore preach the go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And some having compassion. Yes, making a difference. Oh, well, Enoch was a preacher, and he preached about these last days, and there's going to be scoffers, and they're going to have the upper hand, and their influence is going to be great, and they'll win many over to their way of thinking and rob them of the blessed hope. There shall arise, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, verse 24, there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall shew great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect.
Don't believe miracles you see. You know what I'm talking about? I believe miracles happen. And I believe God can work miracles. I believe He does. I believe He has in my own life. But miracle workers who are just all cockeyed with the Bible and the Word of God and the truth, you better not believe their signs and wonders. Because that's what's coming, see? Jesus Himself warned us. Look out for that. There's going to be false Christs and false prophets. And they'll show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they'll deceive the very elect. They're going to be so convincing that people who have sat in church all their life and people who know the Bible supposedly can fall for it. Yeah, if it were possible, he'll deceive the very elect. Many of these scoffers are going to be people who claim to be Christians. We worry about the ungodly world, but I'm not really that concerned about them. What concerns me is the people who sit in the church pews and the people who name the name of Christ and say, I'm a Christian. That's the ones I'm concerned about. If the few there be that find it, if just they would halfway get right, it'd make a world of difference in our world. But there's the issue. See, we've got our guns aimed in the wrong direction. Judgment has to begin at the house of God, not in the colleges and all of that. Now, it'd be a blessing to this country and to everybody if every college in this nation burned flat to the ground. Because they are cesspools of iniquity. And they are bastions of brainwashing and indoctrination in all of the evil philosophy of this world. So we'd be better off without them. You better believe it. And that goes for the public schools also. Amen. There's another way to do it. You know, that's not the only way. They're not educating anyway. They've left what they were supposed to be about. And they're doing something else now. It's games and activities and indoctrination. Yes, sir. Amen. That's right. It'd be better if they were gone. But that's not going to solve our problem. That ain't. If they all did burn down tomorrow, it wouldn't solve our problem with this wicked world. A lot of these scoffers are sitting in church pews. And these are those who teach others that Jesus is not coming, at least not now, or any time in the near future. What kind of poison is that? I mean, what if I told you, now y'all don't need to worry about Jesus coming this week or next week or any time in the near future because there's things that got to happen before he's going to come, so don't worry. Now, what kind of effect is that going to have on you? The Bible says he that hath this hope, and it's talking about the coming of the Lord. He that hath this hope in him purifieth himself. And the Bible talks about not being ashamed before him at his coming. That's why we walk circumspectly and walk in holiness, is because we're looking for him to come. The grace of God brings salvation, teaches us about all that. And then the next verse, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present evil world. Next verse says, and to look for his Son from heaven. So the grace of God that brought you salvation and brought you to salvation also teaches you to look for Jesus to come and to expect him to come. So they're teaching you right against God when they tell you, you got time. Ain't no need to worry because we got this figured out and this is how it's going to happen. False prophets. All right, they're scoffers. Where is the sign of his coming? I mean, where is his coming? What did they say there? Where's the promise of his coming? How come he ain't came? I've been hearing that ever since I was a little bitty boy. I've heard my grandpa talk about the Jesus coming, and people have been saying it for years. And now you got people marching around with signs on the street saying, if he comes back again, we'll kill him again. If he comes back, kill him again. Y'all see that sign? Mm-hmm.
All right? So to teach that he can't come until after the tribulation or until after certain events have taken place is to be one of the scoffers that Peter is warning us about here.
If I tell you now and teach you that the church is going to go through the tribulation, then you know for a fact then that Jesus, it's at least 7 years from tomorrow. If the tribulation starts tomorrow, it's 7 years before he's coming back. You know that, don't you? So don't that kind of mess things up? In fact, you know it real close to the very day if he's not coming until after the tribulation. Well, that's against the Bible. The whole teaching of the Bible and the coming of the Lord. For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. Be expecting me, because I'll come as a thief. And if the householder would have known the hour when the thief was coming, he'd have got ready and he'd have done something about it. But he don't know. That's the whole teaching of Jesus, is I'm coming like a thief comes. You're not going to know when I'm coming. And it's going to catch you by surprise. Don't let it catch you by surprise. Then he goes on and tells us, you're not children of darkness, you're children of the light. There's no need for that day to overtake you by surprise. Watch, he said. Watch. Watch what? Why watch? If you can't know that the time is at hand. Yeah, we know. I can feel it. I sense it. I know it because of the truth of God's word and the things he's told us about him, because of this right here, the scoffers and those who are willingly ignorant. The thing about this last day scoffers is that they're willingly ignorant. Now, like Ken Hovind said, that means dumb on purpose. They're willingly ignorant, and that's why they reject the idea of Jesus coming back again. They don't want to know. They don't want to learn. They're not just ignorant, they're willingly ignorant. That means they refuse to know or to understand. They ignore facts, and they refuse to learn history and put away from themselves, on purpose, any attempt to of being enlightened on the subject. It's kind of like what we're seeing in the news now. Ain't nobody interested in facts. All they want to live in is fantasy. And they want to crucify people because of fantasies. Mm-hmm. Guarantee you that's what it is. Amen. You can kind of look in somebody's eyes and tell. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you don't laugh about such things as that either. If you're a victim, it ain't funny to you. Oh, well. Ain't no wonder then that it's going to be this way with church people. They're not going to want to know. I told her, come to church. You know, there's so much going on and so many, and I just hear so much about churches around here and everything and what's going on. And I talk to people, and it ain't no wonder we can't get nobody to come to church here, hardly. It ain't no wonder to me. People do not want to hear truth, and they don't want to deal with the truth. They've got a fantasy. They've got a false building they've built of their truth and their righteousness. And they don't want nobody messing with it. They ain't going to take no chance on anybody messing with it. That's why. Now, I know that's why. You know, my personality might not be the greatest. And, you know, I know I'm offensive to a lot of people, I guess. I don't know. But it doesn't matter about that. If you were seeking the truth, you can look over personalities in that. I can. You know, there's some preachers that they're not my kind of personality. They rub me the wrong way, and it ain't because of the truth, it's just because of the way they are. But I've got some help from people like that. I don't turn away from people like that just because, well, I don't like them, so I ain't listening to them. Well, it's childish and foolish. You ought to listen to people and get some help. But anyway, it ain't no wonder to me. This is one of the things about the last times. These scoffers are willingly ignorant. And there's a lot more of them than you think. We're not talking about just a small group. We're not talking about just a little
section of people, we're talking about the majority, are going to be scoffers. There'll come scoffers, a lot of them. They're going to sit in the church pews. They will not receive the truth. They're willingly ignorant about what this whole thing is about. And you know, I listen to people and other preaching and stuff, and I'm always kind of disgusted because they stay in such shallow water, and their view is so narrow, and they deal with little particular things that are, you know, just temporal, contemporary things. Very few of them have a broad view of this whole thing and what's going on and what it's all about. And I try to preach that to you and help you to understand and get that kind of a view, because God's helped me to get that kind of view. When I was young in the Lord, I didn't have that kind of view. It was just right here and now, and boy, what we got to do, and we're going to do it, and we're going to do something. But I see the whole thing now, and I look at it that way. You know, I told somebody the other day, until you kind of step back away from everything and start looking at things, get off the merry-go-round. And everything will look a lot better when you're standing still looking at everything than when you're when you're in the middle of it. And most people live their life that way. They're in the rat race, and they're running and running and running, and they're just seeing it like being on a merry-go-round, around and around. Get off of that thing. Step back away, and then you can see what's going on with the whole deal here. Not many of them are doing that, and they don't want to do that. They're willingly ignorant. And that's a general thing about people now. They don't want to know. They don't want you to mess with them. They don't want you to tell them things that are going to contradict what they're hearing from these false prophets. They don't want to be disturbed in their false peace that they think they have. And their false righteousness that they've made up. You know, it's just so simple. I've told you before, God's righteousness, they talk about God's righteousness, but it's most of them look at it as an abstract thing. And they don't look at it as a real life thing. The righteousness of God is what God says is right. Your righteousness is what you say is right. Our righteousness are as filthy rags. Now, that makes it real clear to me. What I think is right, that don't mean it's right. In fact, it's probably wrong if I think it's right. But if I'm going by God's righteousness, then I'm okay. And when you get in your own righteousness, you don't want nobody messing with you. You'd rather just stay ignorant on purpose. Thinking that somehow when you face God, if you are wrong, you'll be excused because you were ignorant. No. If you were ignorant on purpose, you're in trouble when you stand before God. They're ignorant about everything. Their argument is that all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. That's what they say. In other words, nothing ever changes, and therefore it's not going to change in the future. They're so full of themselves and proud, they can't imagine anything being different from what they've always known. So I was telling them a while ago about looking at old maps of the roads in Missouri. I was looking last night, and I've been wondering about that and been thinking about it. So I was looking up some stuff on it, and it's real neat. But in doing that, you know, you can see maps of where all the Indians lived and everything. How many of you know what Indian tribes lived in Missouri, where we live now? None of you? Nobody knows. Ain't that something? They walked on the same ground you're walking on. They went to the same springs and creeks and rivers that you play in and swim in and look at and mess with, you know. All things continue as they were, huh? We live in our little our little window of time, and we think the world, we're the only ones that ever been here. This is our land. This is our house. This is our creek. This is our river. I mean, we think of it that way. This belongs to us. But, I mean, it's so funny because you can look at even the roads, man. The roads around here. Other generations have built those roads and ran their horses and buggies and cars and trucks on them.
and they're gone, and now we're running on them, and you think they're ours. Y'all got any idea what I'm talking to you about? Everybody's so proud. These scoffers, it ain't no wonder, because they're so full of pride. They think that this world is theirs, and their life's all that matters, and it's all it's ever been. No, you're just a little blip on the radar. It's all any of us are in our life. One generation passed away, another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. Short-sighted, ignorant. No word describes them better. To be a scoffer about the things of God and the fact that He's coming. And to stay dumb about everything on purpose. Stay wrong on purpose. Yeah. You ought to be after the truth. You ought to desire the truth. You ought to want to know the truth. You ought to seek after the truth. How wrong, how foolish, how backward is it to be dumb on purpose? Their ears will be turned away from hearing the truth. They'll turn away their ears from hearing the truth and be turned unto fables. Tell me a story. I'd rather hear a story. We went to a meeting one time and the preacher got up to preach on, and he preached on the three little pigs. That was the name of his message in an independent Baptist church at a camp meeting. The three little pigs. And he used the story of the three little pigs as the foundation for his message.
Yes, sir.
Why are you looking at me like that? I was there. He did. I was just fit to be tied. But that's why I don't go very many places anymore, because I've kind of lost control of myself, I think. I think if something like that, I think I'd just blow a gasket. It's abominable. House full of people. Sinners there. Yeah. A chance for the truth to be preached and for the Holy Ghost to work on them. And you're going to preach on the three little pigs. You got a whole Bible there of the Word of God to come from, to preach. And it's the three little pigs. Ignorant. Ignorant of the past. Ignorant of the present. Ignorant of the future. Ignorant about history. Living in a fantasy land of make-believe. Ignoring facts and the present state of things. That's where everybody's at. It's where most people are living. And scoffing while they do it. When a preacher says Jesus is coming and you better get ready. Scoffing at people who live halfway right. And look like Christians and act like them and talk like them and live and walk in holiness. They mock at them and scoff at them. They're ignorant on purpose about what has happened in the past history of the world. What did this scripture we read tell us happened in the old world? He destroyed the old world. The old world was created by the Word of God. It was kept by the Word of God. Until God destroyed it. Now this world right now is kept, that verse says, by the same word that kept the old world for 1600 and some years until God drowned everything on it. Same word that kept that from happening is what's holding things back right now. Don't you think it's anything else? When God says it's time, then that's when it's time. And that'll be the end of it. They don't know or believe that God ever destroyed the world with a flood. In spite of all the clear evidence that He did. You can't look at a map of the world from the air, from space. You can't look at a map they've just drawn with their hand without realizing, man, this thing got washed over one time. It's obvious. By looking at the landscape, the geology of the earth, the evidence. And in fact, 100, 150 years ago, they didn't even question it. I mean, it was just the basis of geology worked from the fact of the flood. Yeah. They knew it.
Yeah.
When they dug stuff up, they realized it. We had a guy come here a while back and buy some lumber, and he's a coal miner down in Kentucky. And I wanted to ask him, have you ever found anything in that coal? You know, like things I've seen pictures of. Coal that's millions of years old. I mean, been there for millions of years. It took millions and millions of years to form that coal. They've found hammers. They've found little golden bells, jewelry, all kinds of stuff in the coal. They were drilling up here in Illinois back in the 1800s, drilling a water well. And up came a coin that had an image on it, and it had writing that they've never been able to identify. You know, don't know what it says. Can't figure it out. It's nothing they've ever seen before. God turned the world inside out. You know how he did it? With his word. That's enough. Noah, you better get in the ark. The time is up. These people nowadays don't even believe that happened. They laugh and they scoff about it. You was telling about Bill Nye, the science guy who ain't even a scientist, arguing with Ken Ham. Ken Ham sent us a book this week. We got it in the mail and we're trying to read it. But, you know, it's kind of neat. But anyway, they don't believe it in spite of all the evidence, in spite of the weakness of their arguments against it. They still believe it. They're going to believe it. They ain't going to believe this flood. They believe something different. Ignorant. They're ignorant about why the Lord is coming back. They realize that he promised to come. I mean, it's right here. He said in this book that he's coming. Now, everybody knows that. Everybody knows that. Even the skeptics know that he promised to come, but they don't believe he's coming because they don't want him to come. So they're in what we call denial. He's not coming. I mean, it's been all this time and he still ain't came. He's not coming. Oh, you're going to be in for a surprise. Yes. They're going to have their super duper telescopes and their little spacecrafts floating around out there, looking as far as they can look off into the heavens. And one of these days, they're going to see the sign of the Son of Man. Oh, yeah. They're going to get their armies and everything ready. Now, this is when the Antichrist is ruling the world. They're going to see that. The powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And we're not talking about the rapture of the church. We're talking about the day of the Lord. When he comes back to judge this world. And the armies of the world are going to be gathered together against him. But they're going to lose. And these guys, these people, all of these people, scoffers, men, women, whoever they are, now teenagers and kids, scoffing at the word of God. They're going to be surprised, in for a surprise. They're ignorant of all of this. They don't even know why he's coming. They got no idea. And the same word of God that kept the old world in place until the day he destroyed it now keeps this world in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. It's what Peter's telling us here. It's that what we've been talking about, preaching about heaven, that there's coming a time when God's going to separate everything out. The ungodly are going to be removed, taken away. Whoever's not found written in the book of life is going to be cast into the lake of fire forever, separated into outer darkness, away. Put out of the universe. Ain't getting back in. Nobody's going to be here, there, wherever, except God and his redeemed and the angels of heaven. Perdition means utter loss, total destruction. Perdition of ungodly men, total, utter loss, total destruction. It's reserved unto fire. That's probably where this saying came from that I always heard when I was a kid, that God destroyed the world with water the first time, and the second time he's going to destroy it with fire. That's not, the Bible doesn't say that, but that's probably where the idea came from. The elements shall melt with fervent heat, and everything's going to be burned up. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night.
in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. Boom. Yeah. A great big boom. And it's gone. And the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Every house, every store, every boat, every car, every truck, every airplane, every skyscraper, every highway, every piece of furniture, every scrap of evidence that any man ever lived here is going to be burned up. The flood destroyed everything. It was a little different because of the water. Water doesn't, like coins and hammers and stuff we was talking about, water don't take it all apart, don't vaporize it like fire does. So, you know, there's things here that we might find a little bit of evidence, scraps of what was before. But boy, he did a pretty good job of annihilating any evidence of what was before the flood. But the fire is going to do away with it forever. Think about it. Every piece of anything that man has done with his hand, all the works that are therein, going to be burned up. And it's going to be like that. Boom! All that man's worked on for all of these thousands of years, and every great thing he's built, and all of these impenetrable safe places and strongholds they've built. You know, we was reading the other day about, you know, everybody's digging deeper. Rand's just digging deeper like a bunch of moles, you know, getting way, way deep in the ground because they know what's coming. So anything they want to keep, they're burying it deep, deep, deep. But now we've got, it's a staged nuclear tactical weapon that they can drop over there. And it's just like a jackhammer. I mean, it hits one nuclear explosion, blows, and then the next one penetrates deeper and blows, and it's like three or four of them just boom, 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 boom. And I mean, it's going to blow them out of the rats out of the ground, out of their hole, no matter how deep they go. And that's man. You think God's going to have any trouble doing away with the works of man? Oh, no. No, 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 no. These people are ignorant about that. They don't think of God. They think of God as a man like them. They think of God as a dude. You know, an old man upstairs. They have no idea. They're willingly ignorant of the power of God. They don't even try to consider it. They won't ever even listen to it. They don't want to learn. So they stay away from it. And listen to people who preach about fairy tales and feel good stuff. I heard Joel Osteen the other day. The music made her mad. Just listen to Joel Osteen. Listen to this. The music's going. And he's got a new book. And oh, it'll be all you can be. Have all you can have. Be the best you can be. And, you know, really pumping and publishing that book. And he's going to make millions of dollars more. And everybody's listening to that. They eat that up. They don't want the truth. Never have. It's not anything new for the last days. It's always been that way. People have always been willingly ignorant. They wouldn't listen to some of these we've read tonight. The old prophets, they wouldn't listen to them when they were preaching. Did you ever notice that? Isaiah wasn't part of organized religion. He didn't have no place. They just went to him when they were in big trouble. And when the king needed somebody to pray for him, they went looking for him. Yes, that's the way it was. The kings for four generations or more were Isaiah's time spanned like four different generations of kings. They all had to deal with Isaiah. But he never drew a salary. He wasn't on the payroll. He didn't preach in the temples. I mean, you know, he was an outsider. And that reminds me, Phyllis called her this afternoon while we was gone, and they was on the way to the hospital with Christy and following the ambulance and wanted us to pray. You know, that's what I told her. Every time anything happens, they call us to pray. See, it was that way in Virginia. You know, people still do that. They call there to, you know, please pray. Why don't you call your preacher that tells you stories all the time, that entertains you, and runs around in his short pants and plays games all the time? Why don't you call him? I knew a bunch of preachers, and all they did was run from one paint gun game to another one. Preachers. One of them had a heart attack while he was at one. He ended up dying. Old man out of, you know, preacher. Now, the world's dying and going to hell. You got a church to pastor. You got responsibilities, and that's what you're doing. You ain't got nothing better to do. You got so much time that you can do that and money that you can waste on playing games like a kid. Go get them to pray for you. No, nobody asks people like that to pray for them. Well, you may think I'm just wandering around, but I'm not. The day of the Lord will come as a thief. All right, now that was in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. They're willingly ignorant of the fact that the coming of the Lord is going to happen just before the judgment and the perdition of the ungodly. They don't want him to come because they know that's what follows. And you know the way the world is now and their philosophy and way of thinking is if you just don't believe it, then it's not true. I just ain't believing that. I ain't buying into that. I ain't believing that. And they think that just cancels it all out. I don't believe in hell. You're going to burn there whether you believe in it or not. That's right. Your foolish denial and your fantasy mind doesn't change the facts of reality. There's a heaven and a hell. There's a God in heaven who's going to judge this world. And Jesus is going to come back for his church before God does that. That's the way of God. They're willingly ignorant of the fact that the coming of the Lord is going to happen just for judgment and perdition of the ungodly. And this is the way God, that's the way of God in dealing with sinful people. He always delivers the righteous and then destroys the wicked. He never destroys the righteous with the wicked. Never does. Abraham knew that. Far back as Abraham. Abraham knew that for a fact. Far be it from thee, O God. Far be it from thee to destroy the righteous with the wicked. God said, no, no, I won't do that. First, he got on down to 10 righteous. If there's 10 righteous people in those four cities of the plains, how many people you reckon were there? We don't even have any idea. It was a bunch. Many, many thousands of people without a doubt. He said, I'll not destroy it for that many people. Wouldn't do it. God ain't going to destroy the righteous with the wicked, see? The tribulation, the great tribulation time, the 7 years, that is Israel, Jacob's trouble. I mean, that's God reverting back to dealing with Israel. And it's God dealing with the world. It's tribulation ain't never been seen. Like I said, I mean, this is when billions, did you hear me? Billions of people are going to die. And we're getting, what do you call it, trained. We're getting prepared for it. I showed her there today. I seen in the news. Had to look at Drudge to find it. They had a big earthquake the other day down in Indonesia and had a big tsunami and is over 800 people dead. They don't even mention it in the news. Fox News, any of the rest of them. It's just all they're talking about is, you know, the second headline there today was, the woman at the White House, she's a victim too. She had to tell about her sexual assault that she suffered when she was younger. That's what the news is all about. 800 people dead, maybe thousands more, but that ain't even newsworthy. You're getting used to not even thinking or caring about hundreds or thousands of people dying. What's it going to be when millions, billions, I mean, a fourth of the people die one time. A third of the people on the world die another time. That's two times in Revelation there. They want to reduce the population. It's fixing to get reduced. It's coming. But he's not going to do that to his people. How in the world can anybody believe that Jesus would do that to his bride? No, he's preparing his bride now. And he's going to take her out before he punishes this world. Ain't no, that's the God I know. It's not the God they talk about. Going to punish the righteous with the wicked? No, sir. I don't believe a word of it. I'm listening for the trumpet. I'm listening for the call. Come up hither. Come out of her. Here it is. And I heard another voice from heaven saying in Revelation chapter 18. This is before the great whore is judged. And she goes up in smoke in an hour. And you can figure out for yourself who that probably is if you just read your Bible and think a little bit. But there came, I heard another voice from heaven saying, this is verse 4, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. So what's he did? Come out of her, my people. And then it's time for judgment. Boy, I pity you if you're left behind when the Lord comes and takes his people out. You're in for a ride. I sure would not want to be on this earth after God's people are taken out. Yeah. And the thing about it is, you're not even going to know. There's going to be great deception. Great delusion. You're going to believe a lie. Because you can sit in church and hear the truth and you reject it and scoff at it because you're willingly ignorant. And you're going to believe the foolish lie that the devil's going to be able to put over on everybody. Most people already believe in aliens from outer space and every other stupid kooky thing that you can think of. And they're ripe. They believe anything long as it ain't the truth. They believe anything. And they're not even concerned about truth anymore. What is truth? That's about where they're at. It's whatever you think it is. Whatever your truth is. Whatever you believe, that's the truth. No, the truth is not subjective, it's objective. God is truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And the Word of God is the truth, whether you believe it or not believe it. It don't make no difference about that. So, scoffers in the last days, willingly, don't be willingly ignorant. Don't be a part of that crowd. You better get in the way, and you better stay there. Because time's about up. Yes, sir. I really believe that it is. I don't know. I mean, all this aside, you just look at our nation that we're living in. It's about to blow apart. I mean, we are, seriously. I've been telling her, you know, we for a long time there, for several years, we kept supplies, you know, in case. And things happen. And we've kind of just got lazy about it and slothful about it. And I've been telling her for the last few weeks, you know, we need to sit down and think about basic things. Because, you know, what are you going to do when the store's empty? I mean, they can say, we're going to get an inch of snow tonight, and ain't nothing in the store to be had, bread and milk and everything, you know. What do you think's going to happen when things really... I mean, it's going to change, everybody. I mean, you're going to wake up one morning and things are going to be different. And the whole place is going to be on fire. And you're going to wonder what in the world to do. You better just be thinking and preparing about basic things. There ain't no way we can, you know, have enough food to last for so many years. Not survival food and all that. No, you just need the very basics that you got to have. You need to think about it. Think, you know. There's deer running out. You can run out there and catch them with your hands almost around our place. We was up there the other day unloading some logs, and two of them walked right out as far as from here to Esther, probably. Not much farther from us. Maybe back to the foyer there. Just stood there. Look at us. And reach down and get some grass. And look at us some more. And us standing there banging around. Not afraid a bit. You ain't going to starve to death, but you need to be thinking about it. I mean, you know, look. Time's at hand. That's what I'm saying to you. The time is at hand. We live, perilous times shall come. They're here. They're upon us. We're entering into them. Beware. prepare. Be looking for the Lord, but also be prepared to endure whatever does happen before he comes. The old timers always said, I've heard this from a lot of old preachers, they said the old timers said that the church came in the fire and it's going to go out in the fire. That before Jesus comes, his people are going to be crying out, even so, come quickly. Why would they be saying come quickly? Because the situation is desperate. Kim said something today, and I've been seeing it in the news too over in China. They're bulldozing the churches and putting the Christians in jail and in camps and stuff and doing away with them. And Muslims too. I mean, they're going to just do away with religion, they think. Another generation of fools. How you think you're going to do it? Why don't you read, you willingly ignorant Chinese leaders, how many have tried this in the past? You going to try it again, huh? It ain't going to work for you. Amen. Let's stand. There's a lot in the Bible, just like we've been talking about heaven and how much there is to tell us about it. And you get to digging in it and it's way more than you thought. It's the same way with the coming of the Lord and the last of the, how this whole thing's going to end up. There's a whole bunch more in here than what we think to help us. It's there for our help so that we don't just live like the rest of the world in foolishness and vanity and that day overtake us as a thief. No, no, shouldn't do that. We ought to be watching. Be one of the five virgins that had the oil in their lamp. Don't be the others that just fooled around and didn't. They got left behind, didn't they? You don't want that to happen to you. We was talking this morning about it. You gotta be thirsty. You gotta be wanting God, desiring God. Are you really desiring for him to come? Are you really, really? I mean, do you long for him to come? I've been in for a long time. I look at the sky about every day and think, why don't you just come now? Yeah. Even so, come quickly. Lord, thank you for the word of God. And I pray you'd bless it now to our hearts and minds. Help us, Lord, to receive it, to keep it. Lord, to think on these things and meditate upon them. Lord, help us not to be blind and foolish, and help us not to be ignorant of the things of God, of these end times we're living in, of what it's all about and what's going on and where we're headed. Help us, Lord, to not be fools, but to live and walk circumspectly. And Lord, help us to be prepared. And Lord, I pray you'd put in us a real hunger and desire for your coming. Lord, help us. We go from here. Pray you'd help us to be good witnesses, good testimony for you. Help us, Lord, to have a right attitude toward other people and that they'd see Jesus in us. Get us home tonight safely, Lord, I pray. And work in hearts through the week here in Jesus' name. Amen.